Hi, and welcome to the Magazine Rack. I'm Chris. I'm Steve Parker. Today, I'll be reading from the February 19th edition of People Magazine. Oh, man, what a great cover this one is. Robert De Niro. Are you talking to me? Oh, gosh, Robert De Niro. What a tremendous actor. Fame, Family, and the Joy of Fatherhood. The 80-year-old acting legend opens up about life as a dad of seven. Oscar buzz for Killers of the Flower Moon, and his future, saying, I'm ready to take whatever life gives me. Up in the right-hand corner, we see Celine Dion, inside her inspiring recovering and emotional Grammys return. We also see a picture of the king, the king's cancer crisis. William steps up, and Harry rushes to Charles' side. And a little inset photo of him, and also over in the right-hand corner, an inset photo of her. And let's see, and there's a caption over to the left that says, Love Triangle Turned Deadly. You never know what you're going to find here in People Magazine. Taking a look, this is the big story from the front page. Robert De Niro opens up about his unparalleled career, raising adorable baby daughter Gia, and what comes next. And this story is by Eric Anderson, and it's called An Exclusive People Interview. And the photographs and the story are by Michael Schwartz. We see Robert De Niro sitting there with a cup of coffee and a croissant. And he's got a dark gray jacket on, a black shirt. Again, front page, black shirt. Robert De Niro, let's say the guy always looks good in black. He's got his white hair there and a very soft smile looking straight at the camera. And you really got to love this. Way off in the corner, a very small, like almost like a matchbox taxi. Of course, he was in Taxi Driver. And that's where, you talking to me? Yeah, it was, this is just a great shot. And of course, he's got talk about diversity. The guy can play, bad guys, funny guys, whatever. He does it all. During the six decades he spent in front of the camera, Robert De Niro has earned a reputation for playing no-nonsense tough guys to perfection. He's been magnetically menacing in films from Mean Streets and Taxi Driver to his most recent chilling turn in Killers of the Flower Moon, earning him his 9th Oscar nomination. In person, De Niro is thoughtful and funny as he talks about his career and family, but he's decidedly no-nonsense, too. He'll answer a question with one wry word, and he's not shy about making a wisecrack to shut down a query. if it's a therapy session, that's one thing, he says, by way of avoiding a follow-up about his childhood during a January interview at the Greenwich Hotel, where he has offices in New York City. This is not. Analyzing this? No. De Niro's not looking in the rearview mirror about because he has his eyes fixed on the road ahead. As things come, you don't expect them, he says. You got to be ready. I'm ready to take whatever life gives me. That philosophy has sustained his storied career, which includes 2 Oscar wins for The Godfather Part II and Raging Bull, 10 feature films with friend and director Martin Scorsese, and dozens of films that showcase his dramatic and comedic range from Goodfellas to Meet the Parents. 24 years later, fans still approach him to quote his famous taunt to Ben Stiller, I will bring you down, baby. I will bring you down to Chinatown. At 80, De Niro isn't slowing down anytime soon. In between sips of chamomile tea, he talks about the future, particularly his desire to continue working. I enjoy it, he says, and savor more time with his family, which recently expanded. Last year, he welcomed his youngest child, Gia, with his girlfriend, a martial arts instructor, Tiffany Chen, age 45, with whom he's been linked romantically since 2021. She's such an adorable baby, so sweet, he says of the smiley 10-month-old. When I look at her, everything else goes away. So it's a great joy and relief to just be with her in the moment. De Niro's other children, Drenna, age 56, Raphael, age 47, with his first wife, Diane Abbott, twins Julian and Aaron, age 28, with ex-girlfriend Tuki Smith, and Elliot, 25, and Helen, 12, with ex-wife Grace Hightower, are proud older siblings. The kids all get a big kick out of her, he says of Gia, the grandkids even. She's their aunt, and they're about to be teenagers. Raphael has 3 children, a family man to his core. De Niro loves when they can all get together. The fact that they'd all be together, he says, it's everything to me. One absence that is profoundly felt, his grandson Leonardo De Niro Rodriguez, Drenna's child, who died from an overdose of fentanyl and other drugs last July at age 19. The shocking tragedy left him in disbelief, De Niro says now, it's awful. I was stunned and never thought it would happen. And I just then started thinking about all the things I could have done, should have done maybe with him. I don't know if that would have made a difference, he says. And so that's always playing through my mind. It shouldn't have happened. De Niro was born and raised downtown in his beloved New York City, the only child of artist Robert De Niro Sr. And Virginia Admiral, both talented painters. They split when he was young after Robert Sr. came out as gay. His childhood was okay, says De Niro. I have good memories and others, I suppose, like anybody, and others, like anybody would. He dropped out of high school to pursue acting and studied at renowned Manhattan acting institutions. In the 1960s, he worked on off-Broadway productions and began his career in film. When I started, I wasn't a movie star and it sucked, he once quipped with characteristic bluntness. His role in the gritty 1973 crime drama Mean Streets, directed by Scorsese, marked a turning point in his career when critics and peers like Meryl Streep took notice. De Niro says he's lucky to have collaborated with the Oscar-winning director, whom he affectionately calls Marty. He allows people to do what they can do best, and then he'll direct from there, says the actor. The pair's most recent collaboration, Killers, tells the harrowing true story of the reign of terror in the 1920s Oklahoma. De Niro plays William Hale, a seemingly benevolent white man who orchestrates the murders of several indigenous Osage people to steal their oil-rich land. As he's done for decades, De Niro threw himself into the role. When Bob commits, he starts digging in with research, questions about absolutely everything from what the character wears to what he eats for breakfast, says Scorsese. The search and the discoveries never stop. De Niro took pains to learn the Osage language. He was spending every waking minute trying to get it right, recalls co-star Lily Gladstone. His partner Tiffany has joked that he would start speaking Osage in his sleep. Asked about Chen overhearing him, De Niro confirms, she heard me mumbling. I was constantly going over and over. I couldn't stumble through that on screen. The persistence paid off. De Niro's performance has been widely acclaimed, and he earned his 8th acting Oscar nomination. He has one more for producing Best Picture nominee, The Irishman, putting him in elite company with just 17 performers in all of Hollywood's history who have 8 or more acting nominations. Think Streep, Katharine Hepburn, Jack Nicholson, Denzel Washington. De Niro was on the set of his upcoming Netflix series Zero Day, a political thriller he is also executive producing, when he heard the news of his latest nod. How does it feel to be recognized at this point in his career? Great. Did he savor the moment and pop some champagne? No. The chance of winning is so... you can't think about it, he explains. The fact that you've got nominated, that's great. While he's modest about himself, he's fervently rooting for Gladstone to take home the trophy for Best Actress. It's right for her. I'm hoping that'll happen, he says. He's also disappointed that co-star Leonardo DiCaprio was left off the Best Actor list. I feel bad, but that's what happens. Who knows? Again, that's in the past, and De Niro is more focused on the future. The weather will be warmer soon, and he's looking forward to taking Gia for walks in a baby carrier and eventually for bike rides around the city on his days off. He notes proudly that Gia loves looking at his father's artwork, and he's grateful that she doesn't roll her eyes at him yet. De Niro says there are lessons he learned from parenting his 6 older children that he's applying this time around, but declines to give specifics. It's personal, he explains. But you always, of course, as you get old and learn things, think what you should have done and what you didn't do, what you could do. And then you just say, look, I try my best. It's a great story there about Bobby, about Robert De Niro. And just wonderful shots in there. You see a fruitful 50-year friendship. We see a picture of Scorsese and De Niro on the set of Taxi Driver in 1975. Oh my gosh, that's a great shot. And right, we see them last May in France. They've worked together since the 1973's Mean Streets. Of their friendship, Scorsese tells People, "I treasure the sheer longevity, the trust, the love." So yeah, it's great. On the left-hand side, you see Scorsese, you know, longish dark brown hair and a goatee and dark sunglasses. And to the right, you see De Niro, of course, how he dressed in The Taxi Driver. And to the right of that, here's a very short, white-haired Martin Scorsese with no goatee or anything like that. And to the right of him, and there's De Niro, very short, white hair, glasses. And both of them are in black and white, obviously, at a formal affair. And there's another picture here that we see. We see him here with Gia. He says, "Gia resembles him when he was a baby. I see a lot of similarity." Let's see. Number two, his favorite thing to do with family, taking trips to warm places, said De Niro, as we see him here with his oldest child, Drenna, in 2013. She's almost 13, De Niro marvels about his second youngest child, Helen, that's holding Gia in January. This is just great pictures here. So let's see what else we've got here in the latest edition, this February 19th edition of People magazine. Of course, we always have to see what's going on with the Royals. A lot of that in People magazine. We see a picture of King Charles here. It's like a royal blue suit with white pinstriping, a white shirt, a very tight squares of blue and white on his tie, and his white hair combed back. And he's standing like it looks like in a window or, you know, some sort of a like French doors that open. Behind him is a chandelier. And of course, he's the king. King he is. King Charles, royal health shock. And this story is by Simon Perry. The 75-year-old monarch receives a cancer diagnosis less than 1 year into his reign, but the palace offers scant details on his condition. As he pauses public duties, how the king's fractured family is rallying around him. On February 4th, the royal family used their social media to highlight World Cancer Day, showing photos of Queen Camilla at a new cancer support center in the UK. That same morning, King Charles, 75, accompanied by Camilla, 76, attended a morning service at St. Mary Magdalene Church near their country retreat in Sandringham. The monarch, still recovering from his January 26th operation for a benign enlarged prostate, cheerfully waved to well-wishers, offered no hint of the impending announcement that would shake the world just a day later. "Charles has cancer," the palace revealed in a 138-word statement that concluded, "His Majesty has chosen to share his diagnosis to prevent speculation and in the hope it may assist public understanding for all those around the world who are affected by cancer." Although this statement offered a few details, the palace did reveal that when Charles underwent his prostate procedure, a separate issue of concerns was detected, and subsequent diagnostic tests have revealed the presence of a form of cancer. The type of cancer has not been disclosed, in keeping with the palace's tight-lipped approach to medical conditions. But it is not prostate cancer, a spokesman confirmed. "In time, we might know," says Robert Hardman, author of The Making of a King, King Charles III, and the Modern Monarchy. "But for now, there's a feeling that they have been pretty open. The king has begun regular treatments and will postpone public duties," the palace statement added, noting that Charles remains wholly positive about his treatment and looks forward to returning to full public duty as soon as possible. Those close to the family were taken aback by the announcement. "I was really shocked when I heard it," says a palace insider. As a source who knows him, "he has not looked himself. I put it down to grief. He had two deaths close together, his mother, Queen Elizabeth, in September of 2022, and his father, Prince Philip, in April of 2021. But maybe he wasn't well without realizing so. It would take it out of him." The news comes 9 months into Charles' reign and only 17 months after the death of Queen Elizabeth at age 76. It also marks a particularly difficult start to the new year for the royal family. On January 16th, Princess Kate, 42, underwent a 13-day hospitalization for abdominal surgery, prompting Prince William's temporary withdrawal from public duty to care for Kate and the couple's three children. Prince George, 10, Prince Charlotte, age 8, and Prince Louis, age 5. The potential for increased responsibilities for Charles' son and her and heir, William, 41, once again highlighted the royal family's thinned ranks since the departure of his younger son, Prince Harry, age 39, and the removal of Charles' scandal-plagued Prince Andrew, 63. But the news also sparked signs of a unity in the family, whose public fractures have played out on the world stage, most recently at the tense funeral for Queen Elizabeth in 2022. Harry was seen arriving at the airport in Los Angeles on February 5th, rushing back home to be at his father's side, while Meghan, Duchess of Sussex, and their children, Prince Archie, age 4, and Princess Lilibet, age 2, remained home in Montecito, California. It'd be the first time father and son had seen each other face-to-face since the king's coronation in May of 2023. "That is good," says a source close to the royal household. "Hopefully, Harry will bring the grandchildren at some point, too, as that would be lovely for all of them." A royal source says William is in regular contact with his father, who returned from Sandringham to his London home, Clarence House, on February 5th to commence treatment as an outpatient. As Charles steps back from public engagements and Kate continues her months-long recuperation, it's up to William, along with Camilla, to be the face of the monarchy. "It is hard with Kate being ill as well, but he will step up," says a source close to royal household. Although William may undertake some duties on behalf of his father, there are currently no plans to appoint counselors of state to act on King Charles' behalf. "He wouldn't want to put that pressure on William," says the source. "He has always wanted to save his children from having that pressure too early, and that will remain, particularly as William has other priorities with Kate." Charles will continue to receive his red boxes, the monarchy's daily delivery of official files, and process state documents during his treatment. It is also expected that the king will maintain his weekly audience with Prime Minister Rishi Sunak with appropriate adjustments made if his doctors advise minimizing in-person contact. Yes, he's going to step back from public duties for a considerable time, but there will be plenty of work for him. It just won't necessarily be in a room with hundreds of people, says Hardman. As the Palace insider, he will want to get on with the job, but that will depend on what treatment he is having. It may be utterly draining on him. He will need a lot of support. One of his main lifelines will be his wife of 18 years, Camilla. She is his strength and stay, like Princess Philip was for the late Queen, says the Palace insider. "She will be great. She will rally him. She will buoy him. She is amazing. She equips him to do the job he has to do." Looking to the past, Hardman notes that Charles faced a gunman unbeknownst to him on his security armed with blank bullets in Sydney in 1994, along with bomb threats during his investiture as Prince of Wales in 1969. "He's a fighter and has an inner steel," Hardman says. "He's philosophical and stoical and has a deeper faith than people appreciate." As a source close to the royal household, "He is a positive person and has a really healthy attitude to looking after his body. Cancer treatment has come a long, long way. He will come through." And there's wonderful pictures throughout the whole story here. Royal crisis, the Hollywood, the Palace responds. King George VI, we see here, his lung cancer diagnosis revealed only after his death in 1952. Prince Philip, the nature of his 2013 abdominal surgery has never been disclosed. Princess Margaret, the royal's 1985 lung operation was revealed post-surgery. Queen Camilla, the announcement of her 2007 hysterectomy didn't specify the reason behind it. Princess Kate, her post-abdominal surgery announcement didn't include any condition details. And we have pictures of all of them as we go through that. And up there we see William carries on. We see William with Kate on November 3rd. He continues to support his family following Kate's abdominal surgery. He will step up, says a source close to the royal household. William would do his best, but the king will want to carry on with his duties as best he can. And to the right here, a son's concern. Tensions remain between Harry on September 16th, we see here, and his father, but they have maintained communication. There is still a warmth, author Omid Scobie has said. And above that, we see it's called System Support. We see Queen Camilla attending church with Charles on February 4th and will play an important role in supporting the king throughout his period of treatment while continuing with a full schedule of public duties. And that and there's some sort of a minister or a priest or something walking along with the two of them. That's pretty much all the pictures. But that's the update from the royal family. Now, let's see what else we have. Hold on. And this next story we find in our scoop section, all the Hollywood news you need to know. And here's Celine Dion back in the spotlight. This story is by Rachel DeSantis. We see a picture here. Grammy's goddess designer, designer Law Roach declared himself unretired to style Dion and we see on stage with her son, Renee Charles, for the big night and at the Grammys. On a night where women reign supreme at the Grammys, there was one whose star shined exceptionally bright, Celine Dion. The acclaimed singer, 55, made a surprise appearance at the 66th Annual Grammy Awards in Los Angeles on February 4th to present the trophy for Album of the Year, marking her first major public outing since she was diagnosed with the rare neurological disorder stiff person syndrome in 2022. As she walked out on stage holding her 23-year-old son, Ronay Charles Angelila's arm, she received a standing ovation from the star-studded crowd. "Thank you all. I love you right back," Dion told the audience. "When I say that I'm happy to be here, I really mean it from the heart." After announcing that Taylor Swift, 34, had won the night's final prize, one she herself won in 1977, Dion was photographed sharing a hug backstage with the singer, who made history as the first artist to win Album of the Year four times, and the memorable backstage run-ins didn't end there. "Everybody was stopping Celine," says a source. She had a beautiful moment with Oprah Winfrey. She and Stevie Wonder sang together. They were just riffing. Victoria Monet stopped her. "It was just such a nice night for her, and everyone was so gracious." 3 months prior to the high-profile outing, the Canadian star made her first appearance on a public at a public event in 3.5 years. On October 30th, she and her sons, with her late husband, Ronay Angelita, Ronay Charles, and 13-year-old twins Nelson and Eddie, stopped out in Las Vegas to cheer on her hometown ice hockey team, the Montreal Canadiens, during their game against the Vegas Golden Knights. "She's doing well, and the hope is that she can continue to do more and ease back in," says the source. "Her illness is incurable, but she's honestly doing well and looks incredible. Determined to continue moving forward despite her disorder, which affects the central nervous system, Dion remains focused on the future while acknowledging a career filled with achievements." In January, she announced the documentary I Am Celine Dion, which will peel back the curtain on her legendary career as well as her new normal and as she navigates her diagnosis. According to the source, Dion is also eyeing a return to music. She has her documentary coming out, and fans will see everything she went through, the insider says. She hopes to get back into the music side of things more as well. For now, though, the source says she's taking things step by step. And this is reporting by Melody Chu, C-H-I-U. And as long as we're in the scoop area, let's see. Justin Timberlake's public apology to nobody. while celebrating his 43rd birthday on January 31st with a one-night-only show at Irving Plaza in New York City, Justin Timberlake had some choice words for the crowd. I'd like to take this opportunity to apologize to absolutely F dot 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 ing nobody, the former NSYNC star said before singing his hit 2002 song Cry Me a River. Timberlake's comments came after Britney Spears shared her thoughts on the River music video in her October memoir, The Woman in Me, writing, "A woman who looks like me cheats on him and he wanders around sad in the rain." Following Timberlake's Saturday Night Live performance on January 27th, however, Spears praised her ex and his new music on Instagram. "I want to apologize for some of the things I wrote about in my book. If I offended any of the people I genuinely care about, I am deeply sorry," she said in a since-deleted post. "I also wanted to say I am in love with Justin Timberlake's new song, Selfish. It is so good." At the time, an insider told People that Spears honestly just wanted to wish Justin well. She's a kind person. But after Timberlake's onstage pronouncement, she posted another message on Instagram. "Someone told me someone was talking S dot 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 about me on the streets. Do you want to bring it to the court or will you go home crying to your mom like you did last time? I'm not sorry." Okay, that's a good one. And also we see a picture here, Suzanne Summers' beloved desert hideaway. The late Three's Company star's Palm Springs, California home of more than 40 years is back on the market for $8.95 million. Summers, who died on October 15th at age 76, and her husband, Alan Hamill, previously sold the sprawling 28-acre property for $8.5 million in 2021. And how about the five things we're talking about? Number one, an Elmo and Larry David face-off. While appearing on the Today Show, Curb Your Enthusiasm's famous curmudgeon attacked the Sesame Street Muppet. David later said he was really sorry. Elmo accepted the apology. Okay, let's see. Number two, a breakfast mashup. Victor Allen's Coffee is partnering with General Mills to transform a childhood cereal staple into a grown-up beverage. Cinnamon Toast Crunch Iced Coffee is now available at Sam's Club. All right, number three, Michael B. Jordan's new campaign. The Creed star is the latest global ambassador for David Yurman and the face of the brand's first-ever men's high jewelry collection, The Vault. The Vault. It certainly suits the 2020's sexiest man alive. Let's see, number four, one last hurrah. Brad Pitt and Quentin Tarantino are teaming up for the third time. Pitt, who starred in Inglourious Basterds in 2009 and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood in 2019, is planning to appear in what Tarantino says will be his final film, The Movie Critic. And number five, Kevin and Kiara's return. Longtime married couple Kevin Bacon and Kiara Sedgwick will appear in the movie Connaissance, their first film together in 20 years. And just a touch of chatter. Let's see. My parents were running around nude in the house. We would go to nudist beaches. We had a camper, and we'd go to places where everyone is nude. And that story, that little quote there is from Heidi Klum on feeling comfortable naked on Call Her Daddy. And let's see, from Jodie Foster. If it was just dancing and cats, I'd be all for it. And that's revealing what would get her to use social media to people. And let's see from... Well, they thought I was pretending to be Terry Hatcher. Terry Hatcher says on why she was kicked off the dating app Hinge on getting grilled with Curtis Show. So they thought she was really pretending to be her, and she's really her. So, yep, that was it. Let's see what else we've got here. I think that pretty much covers everything. I think that's going to do it for this edition to People Magazine. Oh, wait a minute. One last thing. It's called One Last Thing. Calista Flockhart, the actress, 59, stars in the new FX series Feud, Capote versus the Swans. And this is a little piece here. Last injury. I cut my finger slicing an avocado. It was not fun. It was still gushing blood a day later, so I got talked into going to urgent care, but it was around Christmas, so it was a 3-hour wait. I left and never went back. Just little things about her. Last thing I do before I go to bed, I snuggle and kiss my 3 dogs. They all sleep on the bed, as they should. We fostered dogs when my son was little. They're just the best. And there's some reporting there by Julie Jordan. I just had to put that in there because that part is like the last page, and it's called One Last Thing. Calista Flockhart. Oh, my gosh. She must still be with Harrison Ford, I think. I don't know. Smut and gossip. You never know what's going on. That's it for this installment of the Magazine Rack. I've been reading from the February 19th issue of People Magazine. I'm Steve Parker. So long until next time.